My guest Maggie Gyllenhaal starred in the popular independent film Secretary. She played a withdrawn young woman who was awakened by a sadomasochistic relationship with her boss. In the movie Donnie Darko, she played the sister of a troubled young man who was portrayed by Gyllenhaal's real brother, Jake Gyllenhaal. Now she's one of the stars of the new John Sayles film, Casa de los Babies. She plays the youngest of a group of women who have gone to an unnamed Latin American country to adopt babies, and they're growing impatient of waiting. The ensemble cast includes Marcia Gay Harden, Mary Steenburgen, Lily Taylor, and Daryl Hannah. The actresses stayed at a hotel during the early phase of the film, but then they moved into a house together for the duration. Gyllenhaal told me that she thinks she and the other actresses were unconsciously behaving a bit like their characters.
You know, the person I play in the movie, I think, is not comfortable in her brain, which is not to say that she's not smart. I mean, I think she's as smart as I am, because otherwise, I mean, I just don't think you can play someone who's not as smart as you are. I don't think that's a possibility. But she doesn't feel confident and comfortable in her brain. And it was really hard to be down there that way with all of these actresses who I really respected, who I think, you know, all of them are really interesting. And I was unusually quiet and unusually unprotected, I think. And I think that each actress had an experience like that in their own way.
Well, you made this John Sayles movie right before you made Secretary, so even though the movie's coming out after Secretary, it was filmed the other way around.
It wasn't, actually. I made Secretary, and it came out about a month after I finished filming the John Sayles movie.
Well, you must have felt like all these actresses didn't know what you had really just done.
Yeah, I did. but Mary Steenburgen, actually, I knew a little bit, and she'd seen me do some theater, and she was really supportive of it and great. But yeah, but I did. I kind of felt like I'm an actress too, you know. I mean, yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Secretary. And in this movie, for our listeners who haven't seen it, your character is a young woman who's just come out of a psychiatric hospital. She's a cutter. She cuts herself. And she obviously has no confidence in herself. She's miserable at home. She takes a secretarial job with this really strange lawyer, played by James Spader. And after a while, when he criticizes her typing, in addition to the verbal criticism, he spanks her. And she actually likes it, and they develop this sadomasochistic relationship that is very fulfilling for each of them. And they even get married at the end, and it ends up being quite romantic. What was your interpretation of this character?
My interpretation has shifted a lot, actually. I mean, at the moment, I think it's a really political movie. John Sayles' movie also is very political, you know, Casa de los Babies. And Secretary, I think, seems like it's more of a, you know, really, really dark romantic comedy. And it is. But the more I think about it, I think it's the most radical movie that I've made, or really the most radical thing I've done in my life so far.
So what's your political interpretation of your character?
Well, I think it's a complicated thing to make a movie about somebody who is opened up and moved and, I think, woken up by playing the submissive in an S&M relationship. Because I think it makes you question what is okay politically. Is it okay that this woman is opened up and moved by this? Well, if she is, then it has to be okay on some level. And, you know, I think it's also in a lot of ways about moving through a kind of old school feminism, I guess, is what I've been calling it lately, which I think is something that I'm resting everything I have on. You know, I mean, my grandmother on my mother's side was a doctor, and my mother's a screenwriter, and I feel like I'm coming from a really privileged place to be able to question some of this old school feminism, you know, where I think there were rules set up to protect women against all sorts of inequality. You know, you can't act this way, you can't say this, you have to pay a woman this.
And a certain kind of sexuality is demeaning.
Yeah. And a certain kind of behavior in the workplace is demeaning. And, you know, just don't cross these lines, because if you cross them, we'll fall off this very tenuous line we're walking. I guess I feel like those rules, which have been really helpful, I mean, unbelievably helpful, and I don't at all take for granted, if they're not questioned, can start to feel just as oppressive as what they were trying to protect us from.
In preparation for the role, did you read any of the, you know, like bad girl feminist literature? Because there's a whole like library of feminist literature about the pleasures of dark sexual relationships, like S&M relationships. I mean, there's a whole kind of body of like theoretical works.
Yeah,
about
yeah.
That.
You know, I think Mary Gateskill, who wrote
she'd kind of be part of that, right?
She would totally be part of that. Secretary is actually the mildest, I think, of her bad girl literature. You know, I mean, in the book, the story Secretary is about a girl who, I mean, it's very short. It's like 5 pages long. It's about a girl who gets a job in a lawyer's office. He ultimately spanks her. And she feels degraded and strange and somewhat turned on by feeling degraded and strange and doesn't know how to order it, I think is really more what the story says. And the movie says, I don't think I feel degraded and strange. I know I didn't feel degraded and strange, you know. I felt complicated things, and I think that's what's interesting about it is that there are dark things as well as light things in the sex and the love that they have in that movie. But I think it's mostly opening and moving.
Obviously, you have this this kind of interesting and complicated analysis that takes into account feminism. You know, an analysis of the film and of your character. Some of the people who see the movie probably just see it as, hey, it's a cool movie about sadomasochistic sex, you know,
and
aren't kind of operating on that level. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you've gotten feedback from any of them and whether that more like superficial and in some instances maybe even crass interpretation, how that affects you personally, because it's not only like your acting that's on the line here, it's your body, because there's, you know, there's a nude scene and so on. So, you know, what's it like to not be interpreted on the level that you are operating on?
I think it is scary to me in some ways. I think it's so scary to me how the movie could be interpreted, how my body could be interpreted, that I have put up a really strong defense against feeling that fear, to be honest. You know, I did an interview a while ago, and this guy who was interviewing me said, yeah, you know, I watched Secretary in the movie theater, and then I came home, and a friend of mine said, oh, here, I've got a tape of it. Let's just fast forward to the sexy parts. And I didn't feel anything when he said it. I mean, I didn't, like, you know, giggle and say, that's fine or something. I just sort of shut it out completely and went on with the 10-minute interview I had to do with him. And afterwards, I just took a breath and felt that. And I think that's such a sort of strange, awful thing for him to have said to me. I almost couldn't take it in at the moment that he said it. And when I did take it in, I mean, it's a level of having my body and my mind be out of my control that it's hard to fathom.
Right.
At the same time, though, you know, I feel like it's kind of worth it. And I thought about it. I thought, you know, yeah, I've had some weird responses to having been naked in Secretary. I think that I really clearly chose to be naked to say something that I think was important and worth saying. I don't know if I'll continue to feel that way as I get older and continue to do this.
Well, just like another thing about Secretary, in preparation for the role, in addition to, you know, like reading what you read, did you also like read just like straight out S&M pornography or Rent? No, straight out S&M videos. To get a sense of like that world, that culture.
Well, I started out reading some S&M pornography and also some S&M like theory stuff. You know who I really liked from that is Robert Coover, who wrote this book Spanking the Maid. Was really interesting. He's a novelist.
Yeah, oh, he's a real like literary guy.
He's a real literary guy. Yeah. But I did. I started out reading that stuff, and I was totally unmoved by it. I mean, I just wasn't moved by it. And actually, the stuff that I was reading, and maybe it wasn't the best stuff, and I probably could have done better research and found better stuff, was, you know, stuff like, this unnamed person likes to do this sexy, kinky thing. And, you know, it all felt really other and exotic and, you know, different from me somehow, very separate from me. And it wasn't helping me. And then I got this porno, which was, at first I felt the same way about. I felt like, you know, it's these two women, and it was really intense S&M stuff. This girl was really being sort of beaten up by this other woman. And at first I felt like, this is not helping me. This is making me feel like this is so far from my sense of sexuality and my sense of love. At first, I thought that. And then this porno, and I've never seen a porno where they've done this before. They zoomed in on the woman who was being hurt. They zoomed in on her face, and I was just looking at her face, and it was undeniable that she was overwhelmed with feeling. And I think that, I mean, I've never seen a porno where I felt like anyone was feeling anything really real.
Was the real feeling pain?
Well, you know, it's hard to distinguish. It was an overwhelming feeling of something. And, you know, if you know, in the movie, in Secretary Lee, the character I play, is so dead in the beginning of the movie. I think she's sleepwalking, and she's kind of okay to do that because she's seen no other option. I think it takes something undeniable, like physical pain, to wake her up.
Well, she's been inflicting it on herself. She's been a cutter up until the point where she gets involved in the relationship, yeah.
I think it's sort of different. I think the cutting stuff is, you know, there's a lot of pain in her life, which I think, you know, it's her, there's this stuff about her parents fighting and her dad's a drunk and, you know, beating her mom up and stuff like that. And I think that's what causes, you know, in the movie anyway, a lot of the cutting stuff. But I think, you know, her family is just uninterested in dealing with it. Her mother's like, happy, great. You know, in the script, her mother used to offer her candy anytime anything would go wrong. So I think, you know, she has no way of ordering this really complicated, real human emotional pain that she's dealing with. So she puts it into a little cut and you know, gets to sort of keep it all in one physical place and watch it heal. Whereas I think the S&M stuff in the movie is more about exploding feeling into her body and then I think ultimately her mind and her heart. And I can't tell you why those two different kinds of pain work in such different ways, but they do.
I'd like to talk a little bit about your family. Your mother, Naomi Foner, is a screenwriter. Your father, Stephen Gyllenhaal, is a director. Your brother, Jake Gyllenhaal, is like you, a new star. So when you were growing up, did you have, like, overhearing your parents' conversations and then hearing what they told you about movies, mm-hmm. did this sound like the kind of thing you wanted to do when you grew up? Did it sound like a good deal? Did it sound like interesting work? Or did it sound like a lot of, like, headaches?
I remember Deborah Winger, this was when I was a little older, I was probably like 14, but they made A Dangerous Woman with her. And I remember her coming over for lunch, and my dad or my mom, I can't remember, one of them saying, look, she's dressing like the person that she's playing. And I thought that was really fascinating. And I've thought about that a lot since then, you know, just. I mean, what an interesting thing. And especially if it's unconscious, you know, then how interesting. Because that happens to me. I think I'm realizing more and more, you know, I won't realize while it's happening, but, you know, I made a movie in the last winter where I was playing someone really glamorous and interested in herself as a sexy, well-dressed woman. And I found the way I wanted, what I wanted to adorn myself with shifted. Or when I made Casa de los Babies, I mean, really shifted, you know, the way I, what I felt was beautiful, what I felt was not beautiful, how I felt about myself as a person, as a, you know.
Is this a transitional period for you where people in the movie industry are figuring out that you're, I guess they figured this out already, that you're not just, you know, Naomi Foner and Stephen Gyllenhaal's kid, that you're an adult, you're your own person now? Because when people know you as the son or daughter of somebody, it's sometimes hard to have them see you as who you really are beyond that.
Mm-hmm. The person in my family that it's gotten the most complicated with is my mother. You know, there was a point last year when I was going, it was during all this award stuff, and I was, you know, it was the first time I've ever had, you know, gone to any of this, you know, this party and this thing and that thing, and it was both exhausting and thrilling to me, all of it. But some of these places where I was invited to go or interested in going, like, you know, there's a film company called Killer Films, and some of my good friends work there. And my mother is working with one of my good friends on developing a movie. And so I was, invited to this party. It was a party of people who I felt were my contemporaries. My mother was also invited to this party. She felt it was a party of people who were her contemporaries, you know, because there were all sorts of different ages of people at this party. And I felt really conflicted, you know. I'm going to go to this party, and my mom's going to be there, you know.
Right.
And I thought it was really great that my mother said, I want to do everything I can to respect you. I mean, this is finally what she said. It was harder at first, but finally she said, I want to respect you. I also need you to respect me, which is a much more kind of give and take adult kind of conversation than, you know, any kind of conversations we had ever had before. You know, with my brother, it's easier. I mean, he's my brother. It's fine. He goes to a party with me. It's great. He's my friend, you know, or
right,
he...
Right.
And he and I have had to deal more with being competitive and getting jealous. I mean, there have been times when, you know, it seems like we wouldn't be up for the same things, but we're both interested in, you know, the one good movie that's being made in, you know, a couple of months' time, and the two characters that we could play are lovers.
Can't do that.
No.
Can't go there.
So only one of us can do it. And, you know, but I think we've actually been doing pretty well. I mean, I think all of this stuff... We've been, and this is in retrospect, but you know, we've been using as a way of communicating about more complicated things.
Well, I hate to end it here, but we're out of time. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Sure.
Maggie Gyllenhaal is one of the stars of John Sayles' new film, Casa de los Babies. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer today is Roberta Shurrock. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Ian Chillog directed the show. I'm Terry Gross.